You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. We want to thank you for listening, whether you're listening at 8:30 of a morning or 10:30 of a morning over on WWBC 1510 AM or back here at 5 PM. We are thrilled that you have chosen to spend a half hour with us, and hopefully this will be time well spent and it will be refreshing to your spirit. One time I was teaching Sunday school and a difficult topic came up, and very sensitive topic. And as I went to address that question, at that point in time, I was on staff and I was like, "Dear God, I really wish somebody else was teaching this class right now." And with tears in my eyes, I answered the question. And I said, you know, what the scripture had to say about that. And I remember after that class that there was a person that came up, and there was a very unusual response. They said, "Thank you. Thank you for having the boldness to speak what the Word of God has to say, even when it's not necessarily a popular position." And I've told people, you know, in the land of darkness, light can be offensive. If you don't believe that, walk into a room where the lights are out and somebody is in there, and then you throw open or throw the lights on and watch how they respond to a sudden burst of brilliance in a pitch dark room. Not going to be well received, especially if they're teenagers and you're trying to wake them up at the crack of noon. Yes, we've been known to do that before. So today I pray that you will find the truth of God's word to be refreshing. We are looking at devoted life of a believer. And yesterday we started primarily talking about what does devoted giving. And yesterday we discussed two types of giving. We discussed that which is devoted by God, and that is the tithe. So if you choose to reappropriate that, you're going to have an account to God saying, "God, this is why I did this. And I want to hear 'well done, good and faithful servant.'" And so I tell people, God says, "Vengeance is his, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." So I don't want to have anything to do with trying to manipulate my way into acting in a vengeful or vindictive manner. I cannot seek justice with my own mechanisms or my own strategies. That's for God to do. There are a number of other things that belong. God says the glory belongs to him. Uzzah found out the hard way that the Ark of the Covenant belonged to God, and it wasn't supposed to be touched with human hands. David found out that transporting the Ark was a holy process. It was a process described by God, and anytime you try to use the methods men have used, you're not going to find the results to be the same as if you use the method God has prescribed. So today we're going to go to Joshua chapter 6. This is when the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land, into Jericho, and they are going to conquer that city. So in Joshua chapter 6, verse number 15, it says this: "But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. It and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come to the treasury of the Lord.'" Now you read those in the New King James Version and say, well, where in the world does the concept of devoted giving come into play in this passage? I read the passage. I didn't see the word devoted or anything that looked like it. Well, if you looked up the words in Hebrew, you would find a reading that is more like what the New International Version has to say. So let me read it to you, those two verses, verse 17 and 18, from the New International Version reads this way: "The city and all that it is in it are to be devoted to the Lord." Now, in verse 17, the New King James Version, it says, "doomed by the Lord to destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in the house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things." And in verse number 18 in the New King James Version, it says, "the accursed things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it." So I was doing just like you did. I read it in the New King James Version, and I was like, I don't see it. Now, the way that I knew that the New International Version said that was I looked up the word devoted and devotion throughout many translations. I didn't look through them all. There's like 4,726 different translations of the Bible. And so when I saw it in the new NIV, I didn't see it in the New King James Version. Then I went to my lexicon and I looked to see what the words meant. And it primarily means things that are devoted to the Lord or banned from common possession or common use. If you remember in the book of Daniel, there was a king that rose up. He decided he wanted to throw a celebration, throw a party. And so he commanded that the holy vessels from God's temple that were part of the temple worship that Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered the city and carried off all of the possessions into Babylon, But prior to that, they were used specifically for the holy purposes of God. And so while this celebration is going on and everybody's having a great time and they're very content with their life of debauchery, all of a sudden, a hand, just a hand, shows up and starts writing on the wall, and they couldn't figure out what it meant. And so the king is freaking out because he has seen a hand appear where there wasn't a hand, writing things on the wall that there's no person writing on the wall, and he's beside himself. And his mother says, calm down. There's a man here in your kingdom that served Nebuchadnezzar well. There's an extraordinary spirit in him. There's a spirit of excellence in him. The spirit of God is in him. Call him and he will be able to interpret this the same way that he did for Nebuchadnezzar. And so there were great riches that were promised, and Daniel comes in and he says, just keep your gifts. I'm not here for the financial incentives. You want to know what it says? Let me tell you what it says. You have been weighed in the balance. You've been found wanting. And your kingdom is being stripped from your hands, and it's being given to the Medes and the Persians. And so the king, true to his word, gave him all of the riches, and almost immediately his kingdom was invaded and he was overthrown because he had treated the holy things of God with contempt and disdain and had reduced it to carnal usage when it was set apart for a sacred use. Here in Jericho, God said, I'm getting ready to deliver to you a fortified city, an incredible city. I'm going to do it in a supernatural way. The only thing that I'm going to tell you is that all of the plunder of the city, of this city, Jericho, belongs to me. It's holy. Don't take the gold. Don't take the silver. Don't take the clothing. Don't take anything. This is a first fruits offering to me. I am telling you, all of these things are devoted to me and to my use, and they are therefore banned from common use. They're, don't touch it. Don't touch it. That's what it said. And it says, if you do not abstain from those things that carry a curse with them, you will become accursed along with them. And you don't want to make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Okay? And so, literally, the valley where Achan, chapter 7, Achan is discovered to have taken a Babylonian garment. He's taken some money. He's hidden them in his tent. As a result of Achan's actions of taking the devoted things, they couldn't conquer a little bitty village by the name of Ai. They suffered a loss. 36 men died. That was considered a rout. 36 people died. I wonder why we have become so tolerant of loss that we do not repent as quickly as Joshua repented and the children of Israel. Joshua went to repent and God said, get up, stand up on your feet. The people have sinned, and that's why they are not experiencing the victory anymore. You need to return to me the devoted things so that you can enjoy the blessing and the favor of God once again. There are many people who live in this age of grace as if there is nothing holy to the Lord any longer. I believe the things that are holy to the Lord are still holy to the Lord. I do. And you know, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just trying to elevate the God of all holiness to his rightful place once again. The Valley of Achan became known as the Valley of Achor because it was there that Israel dealt with and experienced and removed from themselves the valley or the trouble and the source of the trouble that had caused them defeat and was preventing them from experiencing victory. All God was asking for was the stuff from Jericho. If you look, everything else after this was going to be available for the children of Israel. But God had said, this victory, all of the plunder belongs to me. Keep God first in your life. And so I want to tell you, the Bible says that an undeserved curse does not come to rest. And I am so thankful that Jesus did take all of our curses upon him. Everything that we were unable to carry on our own, everything that we were unable to fulfill from the original covenant was carried by Jesus in a glorious, perfect, and holy manner. He died, he paid the price, experienced the curse for us so that we could walk in the blessing and the favor of God. All of that is true, and yet many people think that no further obedience is required on our part. There is a lot of people that have established a much more convenient and comfortable standard of righteousness than the standard of righteousness that God has. Romans tells us that we are supposed to offer ourselves as the redeemed of the Lord, to offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness, since we used to offer ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness. So I am of this mindset that when God says, don't do something, I'm not going to do it. I had a person I was having a conversation with one time. They had enlisted in a branch of the military. They had gone to a beach, and while they were at the beach, they fell asleep. This was a beach in Florida. I don't believe it was Brevard County, a beach in Florida. And I do know that they got severely sunburned. Now, whether it rose to the level of sun poisoning or not, I don't remember. But when they were so sunburned that what they were physically able to do was greatly reduced. And their commanding officer made a statement, something along this line: don't ever damage government property again. Now, the government property that they were talking about was their physical body. Their physical body had been damaged. But they, those people had signed on the line to commit to be ready for service, and the government expected them to be ready for service. So there are people, they make decisions. Every day, all of us make decisions. We either make decisions in compliance with God's word. We live as if our victories are devoted to God, or we live as if our defeats are devoted to God. But I don't want you to spend any time in the valley of trouble. I don't want you to find yourself in a valley named about you, like the Valley of Achan became known because of Achan's sin. It also became known as the Valley of Achor because of the trouble that came upon Israel. Innocent people died as a result of that. And then the nation had to deal with that trouble. And so the trouble became the identifying characteristic for many, many, many years. But there was another trip to that valley. Excuse me. And that valley became known as the Valley of Blessing. So what I'm here to share with you today is that there are going to be times where God will say, I am devoting this next spiritual battle, I'm devoting this victory to my kingdom for my glory. Don't touch it. Don't reappropriate things that I have set apart for my holy use. Don't diminish those things. They're sacred. They're sanctified. And if you don't obey in this area, you're going to experience trouble, hardship, and loss that I don't want you to experience. But if that's ever happened to you, I want to tell you about Jesus. Because Jesus transformed the Valley of Achor into the Valley of Blessing. It became a bountiful place. Don't continue to live in the disobedience, but also don't live in the valley of condemnation and guilt. Say, God, I've learned from this. When you say it's yours, I want to make sure that it stays yours. So Saul experienced this as a king because there was a battle that God said, this is my battle plan. This is my strategy. And Saul decided that, well, I am going to take the best and I'm going to reappropriate them. I think my plan is better than God's plan. Samuel came along and said, your plan is a really bad plan. As a result of you operating by your plan in your timing, God is taking the kingdom out of your hand and he's giving it to someone else. He's giving it to a man with a heart after God's own heart. You know what God is looking for? He's looking for people who are devoted to what God wants, when God wants it, for as long as God wants it, And David wasn't going to ever stop doing that until he had fulfilled his purpose in his generation. Devoted, the devotion of a believer is more than just opening up our Bibles and studying it. Our devotion impacts everything about us. Our devotion to God impacts our heart. I would much rather have a faithful heart than an unfaithful heart. Let me just ask you this. Would you rather have a spouse that is devoted to a lifetime relationship with you? Or would you rather your spouse have an undevoted heart and you didn't know if they were going to be there come the end of the day? I'm telling you, I would prefer devoted over undevoted, faithful over unfaithful, and so does God. So it'll impact your relationship. It impacts your finances. It'll impact your giving. It impacts your obedience, but it also sets you up. Living as a devoted believer sets you up for more than you could ever accomplish on your own. And so that's why we're going through this. Devotion to God impacts a great, great number of things. And if we live, let me just close out with this. Joshua chapter 22 summarizes this. It says in verse number 20, when Achan, son of Zerah, acted unfaithfully regarding the devoted things, did not wrath come upon the whole community of Israel? He was not the only one who died for his sin. You might not think that God's paying attention to everything, but God's paying attention to everything. And in all honesty, I've had to make some decisions in my life, and they were decisions that I didn't really want to make, but I said, you know what? I'm going to devote this process to God because my kids are not going to pay for my mistakes. I don't want them living under the consequences of things that I did wrong. And I can tell you, my kids are gifted. They are blessed. It's just not them. I will tell you, if you'll honor God, your kids will rise to places that they will live a devoted life to God, so your grandkids will be blessed. And I'm telling you what, we're looking forward to 20,000 generations of those who are blessed by God because we are devoted to doing what he wants when he wants it for as long as he wants it. You have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.